Boundaries are a critical aspect of creating the right context and container in order for your conversations to go as well as they possibly can. Once you understand these boundaries and you put them in place, your conversations get a lot easier, a lot faster. You know, boundaries are a bit like, without them, it's a bit like trying to bake a cake without an oven. That oven is the thing that creates the container so that that cake can bake. And that's what we're going to do, show you what your oven is to create it. Okay, so the first kind of boundary to just be aware of, and I'm sorry I even have to say this, don't use email or text to have a hard conversation. Don't evaluate someone's performance. Don't confront them. Don't do it over text or email. It extracts the most critical ingredients to a hard conversation, which are intonation, the capacity to clarify. All that stuff is missing. I think everybody knows this, but for some reason, usually I think it's performance momentum. It's just that kind of sense of like, I got things going and running and gunning, and some impulsiveness that's sort of like, well, I need to quickly address that. I'm going to shoot off a quick email and let them know, or I got to tell them in a text not to do that because it's too time consuming to call them or meet with them. And here's what I want you to know. Dozens of times, I can tell you, I have gone into organizations where a leader has sent an email or a text, a one-line statement to some other person. Hey, don't do that. Stop doing this. And immediately it creates this firestorm of people talking behind the leader's back and talking to HR and talking to everybody else, and it creates this huge ripple effect. And so while they think they're saving time, they just burn 10 hours of their team. They're going to save tremendous time if they actually say, hey, I need to have this conversation. I'm going to do it in a week, or I'm going to do it in 3 days or whenever, and I'm going to devote time to it. So whatever you do, don't do that. Now, email and text are a great way to confirm what was already agreed to. So feel free to use it for that reason. If you have had a hard conversation, you came to an agreement, follow up with a, here are the things we discussed and agreed to. Another great way to use text or email is if you don't intend to send it. So maybe just open a Word document where you just need to gather your thoughts. So what we're going to do next is plan the hard conversation. You do want to take a few notes. You maybe want to script the whole thing out if you're kind of a person who needs that. That's okay too. That's a good time to use email and text, and then but present it in person. And you will see a fundamental difference. If you even write it out, and then you sit down in front of someone, you will not read what you wrote. Automatically, something will change in the dynamic of the energy, and you will go, I don't want to say that word. I'll say this word instead. That's the first boundary. Let me tell you a quick story about this. So years ago, I was working for a guy. It was part of a startup company. I'll come back to that. I was part of a startup company, and it was just me and him, and he had hired me. We were doing a website analysis and strategy for various companies, and he was trying to build his business, and he hired me to help him do that. And I was young and pretty inexperienced and didn't, you know, I was probably 3 weeks into the job, and he went away on a business trip to work on some clients, and I didn't know what to do, and I was sitting around, and I had a friend who oversaw all the interactive stuff at a major company in the city, huge company. And I called him up and I said, hey, we've got this thing. We do website strategy, design, and development stuff. Would you be interested maybe in talking to us at some point? He's like, absolutely, that would be great. I mean, this would be game-changing client. So I shoot an email off to my boss, whose name was Kevin at the time. And Kevin, by the way, I learned later, he was struggling a lot. He was actually struggling with some mental illness that I didn't know about at the time. And he has since vanished. He had debtors and people pursuing him, and we haven't found him. We don't know what happened to him. So many years ago, this happened. In any case, I send an email to Kevin and I say, hey, Kevin, this is a friend of mine. He is ready and willing to meet with us whenever you're ready. Let me know if that's something that interests you, and I'd be glad to arrange that meeting so you can pitch what we do. And here's the email I got back. Shane, please don't ever do that again. You have no right to do that. You are not a company spokesman. You have no idea what to say. This could have cost us that client. More than this, it shows me just how arrogant, rude, and tone deaf you are to others. We will discuss this when I get back in town. Kevin. So I was like, what? What? Oh my gosh. I was so affected by this. And I was pretty young. I was kind of mid-20s. And I was just spinning and furious and raging and confused. And I must have written 10 versions of an email that said, you know, I wasn't promoting. I just argued and I was a mess. I decided not to send a reply. I decided that was not going to be in my interest. I don't know this guy that well. And so I talked to my mom. Actually, my mom is the one who gave me this information. My mom is a psychologist, and she actually did work for executives also and people. And so she said to me, Shane, when you get back with him, say something like this. Hey, Kevin, I appreciated you expressing your concerns to me. But when you say things like, I'm arrogant, rude, and tone deaf, those are mostly character attacks, and there's not much I can do about those. It would help me if you could walk me through the behavior that I did so that I can make the changes you'd like me to make. So this was an amazing thing. So I sat down with Kevin, and he sat across his desk when he came back, and he's like, are you ready to discuss this? And he revisited the whole thing. He said it again, arrogant, rude, tone deaf, all that. I listened, and I finally said exactly what my mom told me to say. And Kevin, literally, as soon as I said, it would help me when you do this instead, he broke down crying, which, again, shows you there was some mental illness he was struggling with. But it was so interesting. He was so apologetic. And that little experience, that vignette, as much as it's extreme, it taught me a really important lesson. And that's this. Whenever you're going to give feedback, focus on words and actions rather than character or motive. So when you assign a motive to somebody else that they don't have, that really will trigger people. Most people get triggered by that. Not everybody, but I certainly have that tripwire. But it's still, even if you're right, it's not helpful. If you say you were really arrogant and you're right and they were arrogant, they can't do anything about it. So all it does is it demoralizes, it impedes, it creates more defensiveness. But if you focus on words and actions which are neutral and their impact, so you say, when you did this, it had this effect, then you've got a real shot at a good conversation. So this is literally just a script I recommend periodically. It doesn't always have to be exactly these words, but this is the idea. This is the thing to start with. When you did or said this, and these are the behavioral words you can name, see, feel. And so you might have some overall feeling about a person, a vibe of what they did, but you want to ask, what was the behavior that they did that led me to conclude this about that, that led me to have these feelings about them? So when you did this, behavioral words, it had this effect on me or others. It could be that you're defending an organization or a team or something. And you're really looking at the emotional impact, kind of the what happens to the system when you do this, or what happens to the relationship when this happens. So if we were to use my example with Tom now, we go to him. When I finally came back around to confront Tom after we had had a bad argument and I wanted to try it again, I was able to distill it down and say simply, you know, when you went to our boss and shared with him your beliefs about my motives, it led me to the conclusion that you don't trust me, and I have this very strong kind of trigger in me that when somebody assigns motives I don't have, it kind of provokes me. And so that's why I came at you the way that I did, and I regret that. But I just want you to be aware of what behavior and action led to this experience in me. And that had a totally different effect on Tom. He really heard that, and he owned that, and he was able to say, yeah, you know what, that wasn't fair, and I am sorry, and I was feeling pretty worked up and triggered by the whole thing. So we had a great conversation. So that's the things you need to know about boundaries. Don't use email or text, and remember to focus on words and behaviors whenever you give feedback.